when he did get up here and say it. Lee and David, why don't y'all stand and just introduce to the congregation everybody you got with you this morning? Would you do that? Yeah, they've been here before.
This is my baby, Leah. And this is my other baby, Sherry. This is my niece, Teresa. My niece, Beverly. My son-in-law.
Yeah, Craig.
This is my 175 pounds. Yeah. Craig. And this is my other baby, Shay.
Yeah.
And this is David.
You sisters, you can move right up here by her if you want to. Come right on up. Move right on up. Get among your family. That's what church used to be. Family. Coming together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. In the book of John, in the third chapters, we'll be reading from today and trying to take a text and just bring to you what God has laid on our heart for a few minutes of time. This morning, we want to try to follow God. We want you to follow the Lord as well. Most important thing is these songs we've heard today and the testimonies is that each and every one of us is ready to go when our life shall come to an end. And our life is quickly coming to an end. Time is not standing still for any of us. It could come today. It could come tomorrow. Some of you that are young think that you got a whole future. Sherry was telling me that her baby will be going to the University of Miami next year. Is that right? 2 years? 1 year. Yeah. You know, time goes by fast. Where did time go? All these kids have grown up. And many of our elders are getting up in years. And soon, if God doesn't change or tarry his coming, one by one we'll be leaving here. That's not the sad news. The sad news is many of our people are leaving unprepared to meet God. That's the sad news. For those that leave here knowing Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, it's just a happy exchange for them. It's sad for us because we're left behind to mourn our loss. But they've moved on to a better place. And today in the book of John, in the third chapter, starting at verse 1, the writer gives to us, John says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Then the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And stop reading there in verse 7 today. And I like to use the last part of verse 7 as our text this morning. It's old, but it's still true to Rachel's song. You still must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's no other route, no other way that you can get there. Just like today, Nicodemus had all kinds of problems with what the Lord said to him. Many are looking for a different route, an easier way, a way that doesn't require dependence upon somebody else in order for them to get to heaven. Satan has devised so many ways in our world, and many of them are inside of buildings called churches for people to make it to heaven. But I believe with all my heart today, just like Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's still true today. You must be born again. There's no other way to make it to heaven. Nicodemus had problems with the Lord. If we look at these scriptures, we find out that in the first verse, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a Christian leader. He was a Christian leader. He was one who knew what the law said and knew what the word, the prophecies had spoken. He should have known who the Lord was, because he had the books that told about the Messiah that would come. He had the word that would teach him that there would be a man that would come from God out of heaven, that would come to save his people from their sins. He had the book, but he had a problem with who Jesus was. How can a man perform these miracles except he be sent from God? That was his compromise. We know that you are a teacher. There's another problem he had. Folks, today Jesus Christ is more than just a teacher. He is the great I Am. He is Lord. He is God the Father, God the Son, and He the Holy Spirit, all in one, that came down from heaven to pay the sin that you and I owed. And I could have never bought my way into heaven. I could have never paid for all the sins that we had after our father Adam. But praise God, there was one who was willing to pay the price for your sins and for mine today. Nicodemus had all kinds of problems, many like some of you may have this morning. He was a religious leader and should have known who Jesus was, but his eyes were blinded. The second problem he had is that he didn't want anybody to see him around Jesus, because he came to him at night, sneaking around. See, some folks don't have a problem going to church as long as their friends don't see them in church. If those are really your friends, you don't have any friends. I'd rather have Jesus as my friend than to have the whole world today. He was ashamed to be seen coming to Jesus. Many of our people today don't get saved because they're ashamed to get up and walk down an aisle to an old-fashioned altar of prayer and admit that they have sinned and come short of the glory of God and ask God to save them. And every time I preach in a message like this, I think I'm thankful that the best thing I ever did do was when I stepped out and walked down to an old-fashioned mourner's bench and asked God to save my dying soul. Satan said, "You'll be embarrassed." God said, "I'll walk every step with you." Satan said, "You'll lose all your friends." And I look around and really, I didn't have any friends to begin with. You know, most of the people we call our friends really aren't our friends. They're just mere acquaintances, and many of them are there just to get what they can from you out of your life. And when they're done with you, they throw you to the curb. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. Nicodemus was ashamed. What would the religious people say if I was found with this man called Jesus? What would they say about me? They may kick me out of the church, the synagogue, if you'll have it. But he was determined that even though I may go at night and sneak around, I've got to see who this man is. And I'm not really down in Nicodemus. In fact, I honor him that he finally mustered up enough nerve, enough faith to step out and go see this man. Why he could. You see, he said, I know you're a teacher. How many of you know, first and foremost, he is the Messiah. And he is a teacher. He is a healer. He is a way maker for each and every one of us today. My God is your God. Your God is my God today. But Nicodemus had all these problems. How many of you got problems today? You could bring them to the Lord and he could take care of each and every one of them. Nicodemus had a problem understanding what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to really be born again? And no doubt some of you may have that same question. What does it really mean to be born again? You see, we use many different words to describe it, but yet it all comes from the Lord. He did all the work. He still does all the work. And many of us up in years can still say, he's still working on me to make me what he would have me to be today. You see, to be born again is more than just the turning over of a leaf. I've heard of people and seen of people that said, I'm not going to do this anymore, or I'm going to quit being this, or I'm going to lay down this habit, only shortly thereafter to pick it back up and go back on the same route. Many of them say, I fell off the wagon. I say you just reverted back to the hog pen from which you came from. Did you know you can't quit sinning by yourself? You can't change your life by yourself. You can't become a better person by yourself. It takes more than just that. To be born again, about this new birth, it's not a moral or it's not a physical change. It's a moral and a spiritual change that takes place. People worry about what they look like on the outside more than they worry about what the inside looks like. We're like the Pharisees. We clean up the outside, and the inside is as ravenous wolves. Yes, and we stink. The Bible says to be born again, and in the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, is a change of heart, will, modus, desires, life, and conduct. You know what he's saying there? When we get born again, the old man goes away. And a new man moves in our heart and our life. The things that we used to want to do, we no longer want to do those. And the things that we used to not want to do, here we are doing them today. How many grew up and said, I'll go to church every once in a while, but I don't want to be one of those religious fanatics that's always there. And you know what? People say, you have to go to church. No, we get to go to church by the grace of God because of the new birth that took place. I am not the man I used to be. To be born again means that there is a change of masters in your life. When you are lost and undone, the devil is your master. And there is nothing you can do to get from out from under him. He controls you. But when you are born again, you have changed your master. The one I used to serve, I no longer serve. I've got a new master. His name is God. How many of you know that God is your master in your life? And as Becky said, when I've drawn my last breath here, and I've sang my last song, I preached my last message, I'm thankful I've got a better place to go to because of being born again by the grace of God. When we look at it, to be born again, to be saved is an adoption of one from the satanic family into the family of God. You say, Roger, do you believe that there are satanic families in this world? Look around us. Look around us at the things that are happening. And yet, I don't condemn the people. I condemn some of their actions. But I don't condemn the people because if it wasn't for the grace of God, many of us would be doing the same thing. But thank God, I'm not the one I used to be. How many of you are thankful today that God changed you in your life and the things that you used to want to do, God took them away from you and gave you a new set of desires. To be born again. Let me go back to the satanic family for a minute. Nobody in the satanic family loves one another. They hate each other. The Bible says in hell, they are weeping and wailing and gnashing on one another. God's family is a family of love. And the scripture tells us, if you can't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? God is love. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? God is love. And he loves you today. To be born again is a change of favor. It's a new standing before God. You see, when we're lost and you're lost today, God looks at you and he cannot bless over sin. He cannot do it. But if you would just submit your heart and will to him, he will save you and you'll have a new standing before him. You no longer will be an outcast, but you will be part of the family of God. And the Bible says that there is more rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one true sinner that repenteth than 99 just persons that needeth no repentance. I like to preach it like this morning. The day I got saved, there was rejoicing in heaven. The day you got saved, there was rejoicing in heaven. I'm thankful today that God knows every child that belongs to him. Every child. In fact, let me put it like this. An old song said it like this, Brother Ron. I've had a birth that I can't remember. This week, how many of you got your new driver's license? Anybody? There's a few hands. Because I'm getting old, I had to go get new driver's license this week. And when I went to get them, I had to take all these documents. Becky had me loaded down with documents that I had to take. One of the things I had to take was my birth certificate. If I did not have that piece of paper, I could not prove that I had been born. Right? And it says right on it, it is stamped and says this is an authorized copy of a legal document. But I don't remember that day in 1960. Mom and Dad say I was born. That piece of paper says I was born. I don't remember that day. But there was a day in 1972 that I cannot forget. I was there when it happened. When I came out of the last pew, last seat, I should say, in the little house had been converted into a church. I came out from the last seat in the house and made my way down into an altar of prayer and said, I want to be born again. I want to be saved. And the reason I went was not because I had made up my mind. See, you can't get saved whenever you want to. It takes God calling you and you've got to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. There's too much of people coming alternate ways than the way God set up. He said, no man can come unto me unless my Father, which is in heaven, draw him. It takes a drawing power for God to speak to men and women, and then you have to have a broken heart. I've seen so many of these services on TV and other places where people come down the aisle laughing and telling jokes and blowing bubbles with their gum. I did not come that way. I come with a broken heart. In fact, I don't even know how I got from the last pew in the house to the altar. All I know is I took that step, and the next thing, the preacher was bending over and praying with me. And he said, when I got up, he said, did you ask God to save you? And I shook my head, yes. He said, do you feel like God saved you? I shook my head, yes. And I never testified other than shaking my head that that's what God did for me. Because I didn't know what took place in all of its fullness. In fact, all these years later, is there anybody in the house that can tell me what happens when a sinner goes down and prays and asks God to forgive them, how God makes that work happen? I don't know how it does, but I know this. I believe it with all my heart. The Holy Spirit comes in. God takes out that strong man. He binds him and he casts him out. And God sets up a new household in the midst of your soul. And just to keep the old man out, he puts a hedge round about your soul so the old man, the devil, cannot get back in. Nicodemus had a problem with who Jesus was. He had a problem with this man. You tell me I must be born again? I'm an old man. How can I go back into my mother's womb? He was looking at it on the natural side. Jesus told him, if I can paraphrase it this morning, it's not a natural birth, it is a spiritual birth. The natural birth is important, but the spiritual birth is more important. Once you come to the age of accountability, what age is that? I believe it happens, it comes to different people at different times in their life. It's when you know right from wrong. It's when you know that God has been speaking to your heart. You say, how do I know it's God that's speaking? He has a voice like no other. You won't have to ask nobody who it is. Brother Ray, I didn't have to go to the front row and ask Dad who it was. I didn't have to go midway through the church and find Mom and say, who is this that's speaking to me? How many of you knew it was God that was speaking when he come to your heart? Nicodemus, even though the Lord explained it to him in full detail, you don't understand what it means to be born again. And Jesus explained in verse 8 to him, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We hear the wind, we see the effects of it, but we can't see the wind itself. I want to go even further. People say, I'd get saved if I could see God. I'd get saved if I could see him. Did you know any time the Spirit of God shows up in the service, you are seeing the Lord? You say, but I can't see him. in a physical realm. No, but you can see the works of him through the spiritual eye. That's what the Lord was saying. You can't see the wind itself, but you can see the destruction of the wind. You can see how it makes the leaves and to stand straight out. And a few weeks ago when there was a bad storm that went through our neighborhood, I told Becky, I said, look at those big old trees. That wind was just tossing them like they were a toothpick. The wind is powerful, but the Spirit of God is even more powerful. People today, I believe everybody wants to go to heaven. How could you not want to go to heaven? You say, Roger, I'm a member of a church. That does not mean you're going to heaven. I belong to a religious community. That does not mean that you're going to church. I try my best to keep the law in its fullness. That does not mean you're going to heaven. I pray every day. Still does not mean you are going to heaven. You say, you Baptists are tough. No, that's the Word of God. The Word of God says you must be born again. Without being born again, you shall in no wise see the kingdom of God. You say, but I've learned all about him. Let me tell you, you could know this book and every other book from inside to out and still be lost and undone. You see, when I got saved, I was raised in church from the time I was 2 years old. I had gone to Sunday school. I knew the songs. I knew the little Bible verses. And yet, when I come to the age of accountability, I still was as lost could be. I was as lost as the vilest of sinners. And I couldn't comprehend how I, being young, would go to the same hell as the worst criminal that we could think of. But you know, there's only one heaven and there's only one hell. And when we come to leave this world, church, every one of us is going to heaven or we're going to hell. You say, what about the in-between? Isn't there somewhere else? You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's the only two places that holds man and women's souls for eternity. Now, in my closing, I'm going to give you some sad news. Nowhere in Scripture do we find that Nicodemus ever asked the Lord to save him. He probably was like some of you and some of our people that we know. He thought, if I get saved by this man called Jesus Christ, I'll lose all of my positions in the church. I'll lose all of my friends. I'll be an outcast. You see, today, young people and middle-aged people, many people, the things that they do it because that's what their friends are doing. In fact, you can find a church building just about anywhere that will say it's all right for you to do those things that the flesh wants to do. But you know what? It doesn't matter what the man behind the pulpit says. You are not accountable to that man. You are accountable to God for your life, how you live it, and what you do with your life here on this earth. And when it comes time to die, it don't matter how many preachers, pastors, priests, or rabbis that you got standing around you. When it comes time to die, it's you and God. And your judgment is sealed the day you close your eyes in death. You say, I thought we wouldn't know until we get there at the great white throne of judgment. You see, that's what's being taught. But the Bible teaches us, as a tree falls, so shall it be. Jesus said, if you go down in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So that teaches me today and tells me, you better get born again before you take your last breath. Because once the last breath is gone, you are sealed for all eternity. You say, well, and I'm going to touch on a terribly touchy subject as I wind this up this morning. You say, if I die and I'm not sure where I go, can't my family and friends pray me into heaven? Can I tell you this morning, I love this church. I love my wife. But I wouldn't depend on any of you to pray my soul out of hell. Because, let me tell you why. One, it's impossible. I had to pray for myself. Amen. Two, after I'm gone a little bit, most of you, you might pray the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, or the fifth day. But after a while, you'd say, well, I prayed enough. He should be out. Right? You think, he was a pretty good fella. He probably didn't do much, so four or five prayers ought to get him out. Do we really know how much sin a person has in their life? No. We don't know. And as much as I love y'all, I want to know for myself that when I've taken my last breath and I've closed my eyes in death, don't worry about me. I'm going to that place, not because I'm a preacher or a pastor, not because I'm a member at the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church, but I am going to heaven because I bowed with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and asked Jesus Christ to save my dying soul. And you know what, Ray? He saved me. Because with childlike faith, I believed upon him. This morning, I ask you, have you ever asked the Lord to save you? Have you ever in your heart said, Lord, I realize I'm lost and I need to be saved? I didn't ask you if you're a church member. I didn't ask you if you go to church. I didn't ask you if you pray. What I ask you is there a time in your life that you can go back to that you opened up your heart and said, Lord, save me? If there is not that time of remembrance that you have, I've come to bring you bad news. You are still lost and in your sins. But I've come to bring you good news. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Don't be like Nicodemus as they get a song of invitation. Don't be like Nicodemus. He walked away and there's no record that he ever gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. No record of it. He walked away from the best thing that could ever happen to him. How many of you had good things to happen in your life? Every one of you ought to be saying amen. In fact, we're getting ready. David, we're getting ready to have another good thing happen. But I declare to you, the best thing that ever happened to any of us was when Jesus saved our dying souls. And if you don't have that day of remembrance in your life, you can certainly have it today. Quit finding problems. You know, that's what Nicodemus was doing. Everything that Jesus did, Nicodemus had a problem with it. He had a problem. You say, well, I'm not in my home church. Why would I want to get saved here? Because Jesus is talking to you. My church is different. Jesus is talking to you. Ours is a little bit more dignified. Jesus is talking to you. When Jesus is talking, it don't matter where you're at. You better obey the Lord. Amen. You better obey the Lord. Can we stand this morning while they sing a song of invitation? You follow your heart today. The Lord has spoken. Now it's your choice. Are you ready today? Or are you trusting that there'll be a day that you can get ready? Someday I plan on getting saved. Let this be that day. Let this be that day. Yes. Call upon Him while He's near. Sing on, Rob. Sing on one more verse. Are you saved? Or are you just religious? Yes. Are you washed? Yes. You've heard the word. Now it's your choice what you do. I said this in days past, and I'll close with this final thought. Once you've heard the word of God, you're accountable. You're accountable for it. You can say, well, prior to today, I never heard the word preached like that. You know, when the Lord comes, there's going to be some, and don't fall out with me this morning, there's going to be some that's going to be exempt from the word. And some people's waiting to see what I'm going to say next. There's some that don't comprehend the word. And when I say that, I'm saying that they have mental incapacities that won't allow that to penetrate. I believe that there are some that's innocent from birth. We have these children that have all kinds of sicknesses and illnesses today. But everybody else will have to give an account. You know, you're pretty smart people. You have to make a choice. Are you going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or are you going to say, I'll wait till another day? I'll take my chances that another day will be better. How many of you got car insurance? Raise your hands. You know why you have car insurance? Just in case something happens. Many of you got life insurance. And all life insurance is that you will not even get to enjoy it. Somebody else is going to spend it. Amen. I'm going to leave a note for Becky how I want mine spent. That garage I've never had. No, I'm just kidding. But in all of the things of life, the most important is, what do you do with God before you leave? Amen? You need to take this time to ponder and to say, Lord, I know I need you as my Savior. Look at your life. Well, they get a verse of just as I am. Look at your life. Many of you have made provisions for all kinds of events. You've put yourself through school. You've put the kids through school. You're working that job and you're successful. But you are more than your job. You are more than your education. You are a soul that needs to be saved by God's grace. At our house, and I don't know why I'm belaboring this, but God's put it on my heart. At my house, our house, on the wall, I've got my degrees plastered there. I spent a lot of time going to school to get them, and I'm proud of them, both of them, my undergrad and my graduate degree. I worked hard for them, Sarah. But between them is a paper that I'm even more proud of because it's the day that I was ordained to be a Baptist minister. And on that piece of paper, there were so many on the presbytery that they all could not sign it. They had to turn it over and let others sign on the backside of it. And I was told at that time that it was one of the largest presbyteries ever that many of them had ever seen. I don't have a piece of paper, a baptismal record that shows when I was baptized. But I have a record in heaven of the day that I was saved by the grace of God. All those other certificates and titles I told you about, when I leave, I'll leave them behind. But when I get to heaven, my name will be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And church, that is the most important place that your name can be recorded. Amen? So I ask you why we sing this last verse. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you know Him as Lord? Stop putting up excuses and step out and say yes to God right now. Anybody at all? Have you ever professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or are you hanging on to mom or dad or grandma and grandpa and their God? Their God wants to be your God. Appreciate everybody being with us this morning. Now we're going to change the service.